This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is Mason Vera Payne, live from the MVP Studios, and thank you for tuning in. You hear about how important it is to have things made in America and to buy American. But why? Joining me to explain the importance of American-made goods is author James Struber. Thanks for joining me, Jim.
Great to be here.
Recently, I saw that you wrote a book called What If Things Were Made in America Again? How Consumers Can Rebuild the Middle Class by Buying Things Made in American Communities. What inspired you to write this book?
Well, I have to tell you, as crazy as this sounds, but my light bulb moment involved a light bulb. I took a light bulb out one night to replace, and I noticed that on it was the GE logo and one other thing, in all caps, the word China. Mm. And just for some reason, that grabbed me. And I thought, you know, if GE's making its light bulbs in China, perhaps we have a problem. And I had been to the Scout store, and everything I bought for my son was made in Vietnam, Bangladesh, and China. And we had just had the chaplain of our prison at here in Coatesville speak to my church men's group, and I thought, wouldn't it be easier to keep the young men in Coatesville straight if we made anything there anymore? So a bunch of things grabbed a hold of me and would not let go, and I said, okay, I've got to look into this.
But why do you think that buying American goods are so important? I mean, for me, I'm always looking for, like, price points, so buying things from China doesn't really matter to me.
Well, what I uncovered in my research was that there's a high cost for that low price, both here and in China, that we're not generally aware of as consumers. So even if we are aware of where it's coming from, we don't know really what's built into that low price. And that's some of the things that I dug up. So on our side, we have whole communities that we've wiped out that just can never recover because their main employer went to China. And so we have opioid addiction and unemployment and child abuse and, you know, all these problems that are the price, you know, the cost of that low price. And then even for us who don't live in those communities, we end up, you know, we're getting these lower-priced goods, but when those people who lost their jobs get thrown out into the labor market, they drive they drive pay levels down. So even generally speaking, most people are finding that their pay is being depressed by all this as well, and they didn't even notice. And that's just on our side. On the side of China and these other places where these things are being made, people are paying a very high cost. The workers themselves are working in terrible conditions. Workplace safety doesn't exist, and they're destroying their environment. So all this stuff gets built into that low price that we're not even aware of.
From what I remember from, like, high school, when it comes to any business, it's about profit margin. So when it, you know, if they're making things in China really cheaply, and, you know, like all the things you just said, that's kind of bad, how can they come back to America? I mean, or where exactly should we start? Should we not be looking at the companies to make the right decisions? Should we as consumers be making that decision then?
You're exactly right. And here's why. We can't look to the companies to be making that decision because, for example, Levi Strauss, they tried long and hard to keep their production here. Or a furniture company in North Carolina, you know, trying desperately not to close their plant. But if the competitor across the street has decided to go to Mexico or China, and they're selling their stuff for 30% less, then the company really, in that situation, has a hard time making the choice to stay in America because basically they're going to lose their sales because people are going to go to the lower price. So the answer only lies with consumers. If, you know, we're the only ones who can change that, so that the company making that choice realizes, oh, if I send my Oreos production, like Nabisco, from Chicago to Mexico, nobody will buy those Oreos. So the consumers are the only ones who can solve it.
Growing up, I remember things like Made in America was a pretty big deal because it usually meant quality. Is that the same today, or is it just like, oh, I'm trying to buy something that's made in America, and, like, it's more patriotic?
Well, first of all, from what I can tell, you can pretty well tell it's going to be a good quality good if it's made in America. So that is a good way to be sure you're getting quality. If you buy something made somewhere else, there's a good chance that you're going to be paying a price in lower quality. But a lot of the things that are made overseas now are high quality because we've taught them how to do it. We sent them our technology. So in many cases, you're not, you know, the automobile or the air conditioner or whatever it is, you're not really getting a lower quality good when you buy the overseas one. But you are exploiting some worker there, and you're also hurting some worker in the U.S.
I like that you talked about the cars, because I know, don't ask me what car company, but I know that there's a car company that designs it in somewhere overseas, and then they assemble it in America. Can they still call that made in America?
Yes, and you know, it depends on how you define it. Usually, when people are trying to define it, they'll look at what percentage of the content of that car is from America. And you can include the processes, the design process, the manufacturing overhead, and so on. So the design would be a piece of that, but the components, which would be 70% of the percentage, and the final assembly plant, which would be about 30%. If that's in the United States, then I would call that car American made. It's not as good as one that was designed here, but that's the one I'm thinking of that you may have heard of was Chevrolet's second electric car that they've come out with. It's the Bolt, which is following the Volt. And from what I read, they designed that in the Bolt in Korea, but they are making them all in the USA. So maybe 5 or 10% of the value of that car was attributable to the design process in Korea, but most of it's coming from here. So, you know, we definitely want to go with that car versus the one that's just made in China or South Korea.
What about things made in Canada or Mexico? I mean, wouldn't those be good enough, too? I mean, we're all in the same continent.
Well, I'll take Mexico first, because that's the problem. The problem with Mexico is that they're paying their people a tenth to a fifth of what you would pay someone here. So someone's making $15 an hour here, they'll be making $1.50 in Mexico, or $3 an hour, $30 an hour here would be $3 in Mexico. So if you have something made in Mexico, then that is destroying that well-paying job in the United States. And that's not even enough for them to live on in Mexico, so you're not doing them any favors. And so the people that work in these plants in Mexico cannot afford to make the things that they're making in those plants. And that, you know, growing that big Mexican middle class that we were promised with NAFTA just never happened. So Mexico is a big problem. Canada is a different situation because their wage scales are comparable to ours. And in fact, Canada is importing a lot of manufactured goods from us. We don't have the trade problem with Canada that we have with Mexico. Our big problem with them has been importing oil. We've imported a lot of oil from them, and so it's kind of an OPEC-type situation. They buy almost as many manufactured things from us as they sell us.
What American goods are being sold in other countries, like in Canada? Because I can't think of anything, really.
Well, there's things that you and I would not be so familiar with. I did a trade profile for Canada. So the things that we would be aware of, like automobiles and components, a little more of those are made in Canada than made here because we have a bunch of plants right on the border. But machinery, intermediate manufactured goods, things that aren't, you know, really consumer goods, we sell a lot of those to Canada.
Oh, like steel, like components to build things.
Yes, and actually, we're running a $40 billion surplus of those things. We're selling that much more to Canada than they sell to us, but they're selling a bit more automobile things to us than we are to them.
Do you think smaller businesses tend to have more products made in America versus like larger corporations like Walmart and Target?
I think that's true. It looks to me, as I look, there's a fellow, Mark Andahl, has opened a Made in America store near Buffalo. He's actually opened seven that aren't. And he was telling me that he has maybe 7,000 products now, and almost all of them are made by family-owned business. So people who want to keep their business here. And so I do think that in many cases you're seeing that Made in America goods are a family-owned business that doesn't want to send it over. The big brands and the big retailers, Walmart in particular, are the ones who really started looking to China and Asia for their goods and kind of drove that whole process. Walmart would actually require their suppliers to move to China. So I think you're right. I think there's a big difference between the big companies and the smaller ones.
You know, when I'm looking for a product to buy, like even the American flag, you know, I go online to see if it's American made. But even then, it's kind of hard. Is there like a specific place you would recommend, like, oh, these places like legitimately do like made in America?
The first thing is that it's often possible to look right on the label of the product or the package, tell where it's from. So I really would encourage our listeners to start doing that and just make it a habit, because it's surprising how often you'll find two things right next to each other, one made in the USA and the other made somewhere else. It can be hard to tell where things are from, and one of the things I'm proposing is that we do tighten our labeling laws so that it's more prominent, you know, that you know where something is from. But I wouldn't be discouraged. As I say, we start paying attention to this, I think we could really start moving the needle. With regard to cars, there's a label on every car that's required that tells you at least the U.S. and Canadian content of the car and where the engine was made, where the transmission was made, and kind of a percentage. And there's a website that the American University, a professor there, has put up where he goes through every car and he actually awards a percentage if it's a U.S. company. And you can tell some cars get a 70-80% American rating. Many cars get zero, so it's really possible, especially with those purchases, I would say, when it comes time to buy something big like that, let's take the time and think about that. Then there's these middle ground ones. Like, I have a good friend who just bought a washer and dryer, and he bought them from General Electric. They were 70% at least U.S. content, and that was not a hard thing for him to decide to do.
You know, you're right about the labels, because the first thing I thought of was actually food. Because my father always complains that the mangoes come from Venezuela or Guatemala, and it's like, you know, or the bananas come from a whole nother, you know, continent, South America. And he's like, why don't we have like something more homegrown? So you're right. The research does tend to get a little bit hard, though, because, you know, where do you start? They seem to hide that stuff a little too well.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of companies are definitely playing hide the ball. Even for their American made things, they don't tell us that it's made in USA because they don't want to call attention to all the things that they sell that aren't made in the USA. But I think this is something we can turn around. I really do.
Oh, that's interesting. It's like, oh, if they have 10 products, 9 are made somewhere else and 1 in the US, but they don't want to, you know, alienate the other 9. Oh, that's pretty, like, that makes sense.
They don't all do that. I'm holding an example as we talk. I've got a Pilot pen, and I have a particular one that I like, but when I look on the rack, some of the Pilot pens are from Japan, and this particular one I like is made in the USA. So it just took me a little while to look at the backs of all those Pilot packages to find the one they are making in the USA, and they labeled it.
Thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate you being here. But for those listening, where can they find your book at?
It's on Amazon, so that's an easy one. And of course, the title is easy to remember, What If Things Were Made in America Again? And also, I have a website, miaa.us. That's for Made in America Again, miaa.us. And there's a link there where one could get the book.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's masonverapayne.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.